Good morning, and welcome to Simply Science. It's Wednesday, April 10th. On today's show, the science of static shock gets jolted into the 21st century, and ADHD may have evolved to give us foraging superpowers. Plus, we explore the role of seabed mapping in ocean science. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Science. We start off with an intriguing new discovery about the science behind static electricity, one of those everyday phenomena we're all familiar with. Researchers at Princeton University have taken a fresh look at static charge and made some fascinating findings. Here with more details is our science correspondent. So what exactly did the Princeton team uncover about the mechanisms driving static electricity?
The researchers used advanced computational simulations to study how charge moves between insulating materials like vinyl and acrylic at an atomic level. Insulating materials are interesting because they don't allow electrons to flow freely. The key finding is that the team was able to describe the static charge transfer using the fundamental thermodynamic concepts of heat and work. This provides a new framework to understand the phenomenon.
It's fascinating that despite static electricity being so common in our everyday lives, from clothes sticking together out of the dryer to those fun pranks of shuffling across the carpet to zap someone, the underlying science is still quite mysterious. What has made it so challenging to explain?
One major reason is that the charge transfer doesn't involve electrons, which are the usual culprit in electrical phenomena. The researchers emphasize that there is no consensus on what is actually moving to create the static buildup. Running the detailed atom-by-atom simulations required millions of hours of computational time, showing the complexity of the problem. Static electricity has been studied for thousands of years, yet we're still working out the basics in the 21st century.
What are some of the potential implications or applications of better understanding how static electricity works at this fundamental level?
Having a clearer picture of the thermodynamics involved could help scientists develop strategies to control or mitigate undesirable static buildup. This is relevant for industries like electronics manufacturing, where a sudden discharge can damage sensitive components. On the other hand, there may be ways to harness static electricity for useful purposes. The Princeton study focused specifically on insulating materials, but improving our understanding of contact electrification could have broad implications.
The Princeton team's work on static electricity shows there are still plenty of scientific puzzles to solve, even with familiar phenomena. Thank you for breaking that down, David. Shifting gears now, a new study from the University of Pennsylvania suggests that ADHD, or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, may have evolved to provide an advantage in foraging for food. The research analyzed how adults with and without ADHD traits performed in an online berry-picking game. Here with more details is our science correspondent. So what exactly did this study find?
The study looked at data from 457 adults who played an online game where the goal was to collect as many berries as possible in 8 minutes. Players had to decide whether to keep picking berries from the same bush, which gave diminishing returns over time, or spend time moving to a new patch that could potentially have more berries. Alongside the game, participants took a survey to assess if they had symptoms associated with ADHD, like difficulty concentrating, although this wasn't a formal clinical diagnosis.
Interesting. So how did the participants with ADHD traits fare in this berry foraging game compared to those without?
Well, the researchers found that those with ADHD traits were more willing to take the risk of moving to a new patch sooner rather than later. This strategy of exploring more and not overexploiting a single patch turned out to be the optimal approach for maximizing berry collection in the game. In essence, the study suggests that ADHD traits like impulsivity and rapidly shifting attention may have been evolutionarily advantageous for hunter-gatherer ancestors who had to constantly search for new food sources.
That's a fascinating theory. But of course, a simple computer game can't fully capture the complexity of real-world foraging behaviors. What are some of the limitations of a study like this?
Right? It's important to note that this is a relatively small study based on a simplified game, so we have to be cautious about generalizing the findings too broadly. ADHD is a complex neurological condition influenced by many genetic and environmental factors. However, the researchers argue that their work provides a new perspective on ADHD and how certain traits we view as disruptive today may have served an important evolutionary purpose in the past. It highlights how behaviors are context-dependent and that there's still a lot to learn about the potential upsides of neurodiversity.
Indeed, it's an intriguing new way of thinking about a condition that affects millions of people worldwide. Thank you for breaking down this study for us. And speaking of exploring uncharted territories, let's dive into the world of seabed mapping and its crucial role in ocean science. The UK Centre for Seabed Mapping recently co-hosted an event with the Royal Society to explore this important topic. Here with more details is our correspondent. So tell us, what exactly is seabed mapping and why is it so vital for understanding our oceans?
Seabed mapping is essentially the process of creating detailed maps and images of the ocean floor. This includes gathering data on the depth, shape, and composition of the seabed. It's a critical tool for ocean science because it helps us understand the complex ecosystems and processes happening beneath the waves. By mapping the seabed, scientists can identify important habitats, study geological features, and track changes over time. This information is essential for conservation efforts, resource management, and even navigation and safety.
It sounds like a collaborative effort. The UK Centre for Seabed Mapping now has 33 member organizations working together. What kind of discussions and initiatives came out of their recent meeting?
The meeting brought together a diverse group, including academics, early career researchers, and ocean professionals. They discussed a range of topics related to the future of seabed mapping. One key area was the workforce, ensuring there are enough trained professionals to meet the growing demand for seabed mapping. They also talked about the importance of ocean literacy in education to inspire the next generation of marine scientists. Outreach was another focus, with initiatives like World Ocean Day to raise public awareness about the wonders and challenges facing our oceans.
It's encouraging to see this kind of collaboration and long-term thinking in the field. As our understanding of the oceans deepens, what role do you see seabed mapping playing in the future of ocean science and conservation?
Seabed mapping is only going to become more important as we grapple with the impacts of climate change, pollution, and other human activities on our oceans. Detailed maps will be essential for monitoring the health of marine ecosystems, identifying areas in need of protection, and guiding sustainable development. As technology advances, we'll be able to map the seabed in even greater detail and cover more territory. This will open up new frontiers in ocean exploration and discovery. At the same time, seabed mapping is a powerful tool for engaging the public and policymakers. The stunning images and data it produces can help build support for ocean conservation and drive evidence-based decision-making.
Thank you for that insight, David. It's clear that seabed mapping is a critical piece of the puzzle when it comes to understanding and protecting our oceans. And speaking of breakthroughs in science, scientists have made a major one in understanding how the human brain works by connecting lab-grown brain cells. Here to tell us more is our science correspondent. So what exactly did the researchers do in this study?
The team of scientists from the University of Tokyo grew a network of brain cells called neurons in a lab dish. They used human stem cells to create these neurons, which organize themselves into what's called an organoid, a simplified miniature version of a brain. What's really fascinating is that the researchers then connected this brain organoid to an array of electrodes, allowing them to both stimulate the neurons and record their activity.
That's incredible that they could interact with these lab-grown brain cells in real time. What kind of activity did they observe?
When the researchers sent electrical pulses into the organoid, they saw patterns of activity that closely resembled what we see in real human brains. Specifically, they observed theta waves, a type of brainwave associated with learning, memory, and spatial navigation in mammals. This suggests that even though these are simplified mini-brains, they can still mimic some of the complex dynamics of a full-sized brain.
So by studying these brain organoids, scientists can gain insights into how our own brains function and process information. Are there any potential applications of this research?
Absolutely. This study opens up a lot of exciting possibilities. For one, these brain organoids could be used to study neurological disorders and test potential treatments in a very controlled lab setting. Additionally, by connecting organoids to external sensors and outputs, we might be able to create biological computers of sorts, using actual brain tissue to process information and control devices. Of course, that's still quite far off, but it's a tantalizing prospect. And more broadly, this research helps us chip away at one of the greatest remaining mysteries in science: how the human brain works, and how that activity gives rise to thought, emotion, and consciousness.
Those are some fascinating implications. It will be exciting to see how this field progresses in the coming years and what new insights and applications emerge. Thank you for breaking this down for us.
My pleasure. It's always a joy to share the latest advances in our understanding of the brain. While there is still so much to discover, studies like this one are crucial steps forward.
Indeed, this pioneering study connecting lab-grown brain cells to understand how our own brains function is a remarkable step forward in one of the most exciting areas of modern science. And on that fascinating note, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Science. We'll see you back here tomorrow.